look, I think from listening to the different conversations on your own show, and obviously from speaking to people over the last couple of days, like it's opened up a lot of old wounds, and even people who have spoken very, very openly and honestly to me, you know, can remember back to stories from their father or uncles, and it brings back very, very painful memories. But that is, you know, part and parcel of the commemoration decade that we're in, and whether it was commemorating the Ulster Covenant, to looking at World War One, and looking at many debates around whether we should commemorate Irish soldiers who went to fight during World War One. That created a lot of emotion as well in terms of fighting for the British Crown, as it was said at the time. So here we have a particular period in commemoration in relation to the RIC, and we have to be clear, this is not about commemorating the Black and Tans in no way whatsoever.
But it's impossible to separate it out, Minister. I mean, you see, you can say that, and Leo Varadkar can say that until the cows come home, but that's impossible. This is being seen as, by historians like Dr. McAuliffe there, because it is a blanket commemoration, you can't separate out the RIC from the Black and Tans or the Auxiliaries.
Well, look, it's not a blanket commemoration, and it's very much trying to understand a very, very complex and painful history. And some RIC members were involved in reprisals and brutal atrocities. And it's this is about trying to develop an understanding of our past, a very complex past, a past which is still very difficult and it's still very raw.
But Minister, how does this help us? And sorry to interrupt. I hope you don't think I'm being ignorant. How does this help us remember that these the RIC in its latter form did to the people of this country, an occupied country at the time? How can commemorating what they did, that organisation, and that's what it would be doing, how can that be positive in any way, shape or form, Minister?
Let's be very clear what a commemoration is. A commemoration is not a celebration. That's the first thing. The second thing, what a commemoration is not, it's not about deciding who's right and who's wrong, because in a couple of years' time, we're going to be looking at commemorations around partition, around the Civil War, around Michael Collins' role, around Eamon de Valera's role, and that won't be deciding who was right and who was wrong, and that has divided people on this island.
Can you imagine the British ever commemorating the IRA?
Greg, let me finish. The point here is, this is about trying to understand why Irish men, and if you look at our own county, and if you look through the roll call of Donegal men that worked under the umbrella of the RIC at the time, and you look at names, and you know, even last night I was looking at names from McCorkle to McHugh to Gallagher to Doherty. We have to understand why Irish men signed up to the RIC. We have to understand how it tore families apart. We have to understand that in every townland in our own county today, people are going to be remembering one family that had a brother who was in the old IRA, a brother who was actually a member of the RIC. We have to fully understand all of this detail, because one of the motivating factors for me when I was faced with the decision about having compulsory on as an optional subject or a compulsory subject, I was very clear in what I was hearing from many, many people, both north and south, and I know this issue is more and more sensitive for border areas, and is very sensitive for people who have very, very, you know, live memories of how this impacted on their families. But one of the reasons why I wanted history on as a compulsory subject for junior cycle was to allow the space and time for our young people to fully understand our complex and our tragic history. We have a tragic history on this island. A lot of wrong things we're doing, brutal atrocities by some members, a lot of members of the RIC. And this is not about celebrating that past. It's not saying they were right. It's about acknowledging at a particular point in time of history what went on. Mm. And even this morning, I had an opportunity to speak to both my parents, where my father started talking about members of his family for the first time to me in a certain way, and my mother talked about neighbours who were members of the RIC.
But I'm sure none of those were involved in the oppression of people, of burning out, of creameries, of shooting people's herd of cattle that they used to feed or provide milk for their families. Like the people that you talk of, I'm sure none of them were involved in those activities.
Yeah, but some of them may have been forced to engage in activities that, you know, because of the organization they were part of. And we have to fully understand, number one, why they signed up, why they worked. I mean, as somebody said to me this morning, like, some, you know, were bread and butter issues. It was providing for families. It was a wage. But that's not in any way saying what was done in terms of the atrocities, in terms of evictions, in terms of oppression of people. Our island.
But Minister, that's how the 2016 commemorations were handled. This isn't like that. There is no subtlety to this. There are no nuances like you talk of. This is Leo Varadkar, Charlie Flanagan, Drew Harris and others commemorating the RIC and anyone who was associated with it, be it the Black and Tans. What you talk of and about teasing out the right, you know, what happened and understanding, this commemoration doesn't allow for that. It's been thrust upon us and it's causing incredible upset for people. And why will this government not heed on this issue? I've never in a long time seen so many people from whatever political background they are so offended and upset by this. And I'll put it to you again. Do you think the British would ever commemorate the IRA?
Well, I don't know. I'm certainly, as an Irishman, I'm not going to speak on behalf of the British. But what I do know, during the 1916 commemorations, there were commemorations for British soldiers that were involved in atrocities on this island. So, like, this goes back again to the big debate that was had for years and years in relation to Irish men that participated in World War One. Do we honour them? Do we not honour them? They lived a shameful existence when they came home from fighting the battles. But now, if you look back, that we have come to a full understanding of the motivation behind
it. So you share the view that of Leo Varadkar that in 10 or 15 years' time that the general public will reflect and say the government did a very fine thing in commemorating the IRC.
Look, I think the government is always faced with a difficult position, and I have to be honest here, Greg, and to be honest with your listeners, this has been handled in a bad way. The way it has come out, and I think you articulated that the way that it hasn't been teased out. But as a government, we have to deal with all the issues, all the people, and deal with our complex past, which has led to who we are as a people. And if we are to get to that place on our own island in terms of reconciliation, in terms of healing, in terms of accepting that there were so many wrongs, and we don't have a monopoly in wisdom because we didn't live at that time, but part of history, and this was one of the things that many historians pointed across to me when I was making the decision in relation to junior cycle, you have to put yourself and try to put yourself in that position.
But this doesn't do that, Minister. I'm sorry to labour the point, and again, I don't want to come across as argumentative. This doesn't do that. This commemorates the RIC, the Black and Tans, the Auxiliaries, in all of its forms and all of what they did. It doesn't allow space for us to discuss people being dragged out of their house and having themselves cut open and dragged behind vehicles. It doesn't. There is no facility. All it does is it drags up all these horrible, horrible memories and does nothing at all to acknowledge them, other than to say we are commemorating those who oppressed the people of this country and those who were responsible for some awful, awful acts.
Look, Greg, you've made that point now for the third time, and I know you're very strong on this point, but let's be very clear. This is not about commemorating the Black and Tans, and commemoration is not a celebration. Commemoration is about acknowledging a particular point of history, which was a very troubled point of history, and going back to the duty, as we have, and certainly I have as Minister for Education, is to allow our next generation and our current generation the freedom and space to try to understand, why did some men join the RIC in this county? Why did some men, you know, why did brothers join the old IRA? Why Why were families torn apart? How did this happen? How was this allowed to happen? And we have to get to the bottom of that. But this is commemoration, is not celebration. It's not about honouring who was right or who was wrong. But this was a very complex period. And it will lead to more difficult times as well, because even if you go back to 20, 30 years ago in this county, the raw civil war politics, you know, was as deep 20, 30 years ago. And for some people, it's as deep today as it was then, as it was over the last 100 years. And we have to fully understand. Okay. And I completely acknowledge the sensitivity around this. I acknowledge the people who rang and contacted me yesterday and people who sent me texts and saying, Joe, this is wrong. This is too painful.
It's just a bridge too far for too many people.
Yeah, and I agree. And you're getting that. And your texts coming in will be saying that. But all I want to say, and just to reiterate again, if we are to fully understand our past and trying to get to a better place, which we still have to do on this island, we have to get through to...
But why don't you do it how we want to do it? Why is this being shoved down the people's throats? It's clear the majority of people don't want this to happen in its current form. Your boss, Leo Farquhar, doubling down on it again today. You know, people feel they're not being listened to. This, as I said before, you know, obviously the likes of health and homelessness is hugely important to people and it's ever present in modern Ireland today. But this has been done wrong and it shouldn't go ahead in its current form. And why can the government not listen to the people on this?
Well, I think the big message I'm getting from the people is, and from people I've contacted from listening very attentively to this issue, is people want to ensure that the atrocities, the reprisals, the gruesome acts that were... That happened under this regime is out there as well. And by having, even by having this debate and having a debate on your show, that is allowing us to get those pieces of information out. So if there's one thing that I'll certainly be taking to my cabinet colleagues on Thursday morning when we meet up, is that the message is that this can't just be about acknowledging an organisation in terms of everything that was carried out by that organisation was they were in the right. They were far from in the right, and we have to ensure that the atrocities, the brutal atrocities, the reprisals, all that information, and we have to allow the space to ensure that we fully understand that so many Irish men were part of the RIC right through the 1800s, right up to the formation of the state. And if you think back as well, Eamon Cant's father was a member of the RIC, Michael Collins' uncle, and Michael Collins was the man who said, in order for us to have a proper independence, we need our own Garda Síochána, we have to see the end of the RIC, and his old uncle was in it. So it was complex. Families were torn apart. Mm. Families were torn apart by this, by the Civil War, by partition.
And for all those reasons, it's why this is so wrong. And I'm sorry to labour the point, Minister, and it's not really for me to have an opinion. I'm speaking on behalf of the hundreds that have contacted us. So I just want to ask you two questions finally before we wrap things up. You are attending and you are 100% behind this commemoration in its current guise.
Well, first of all, I haven't been invited, but if I'm invited by the government to attend, I will attend. But one thing that I will ensure is to continue to allow the public the opportunity to ensure that their version of the history and the atrocities and the reprisals is also reported. But this is.
But you're 100% behind this commemoration as planned.
Well, I mean, if I'm invited to it, on
no, but in terms of it taking place and in the form that it is taking place, whether attending or not, you are 100% in favour of it happening at all.
Well, I'm one of the participants who engaged very, very proactively in the decade of commemoration. We're still in the decade of commemoration, and it's about ensuring that all aspects of our history is given light, whether good, bad, or indifferent. It's not.
And no matter how much it hurts people or upsets people.
No, well, let's be clear here, Greg, and let's be honest. And I've been honest with you in this conversation. I fully understand the sensitivity. I fully understand the hurt that even having this conversation is having. But my duty, and always my duty, and particularly in the job that I'm in, and that's why it took the very forthright decision around history.
I understand
we
that.
We have to allow our next generation to fully understand how complex, how brutal, how difficult our past was. Because if we
if someone could just explain to me how this commemoration does that,
any chance of paving a way for a better future for this island, we have to ensure that all our history, that we don't put any of our history onto the carpet.